Welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Caroline Brader-Watts, sitting in for Ed Bell today. We'll visit with Laura Quinlan, Executive Director of the Rhythm Foundation, get our holiday spirit on with Winterfest. Regular contributor Judith Bishop chats with Leanne Standish, Interim Director of the Perez Art Museum Miami. Norman Van Aken has a word on food, and as this is our final episode of Arts Beat, Ed Bell says farewell. South Florida Arts Beat begins right after a check of news from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News Team. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Caroline Brader-Watts, sitting in for Ed Bell today. And I guess it's only fitting that on our final program, we have a lady with us who has been a visitor many times to South Florida Arts Beat. She is Laura Quinlan. She's the director of the Rhythm Foundation and has a lot of exciting information to share about her upcoming 27th season, is it, here at the Rhythm Foundation. Laura, congratulations and thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a little history. As I said, you are celebrating your 27th season of presenting outstanding international artists in South Florida. What does that mean? What kind of performances do you bring to us?
The Rhythm Foundation in its history has always specialized in presenting outstanding international artists, world music, especially music that has great relevance to the South Florida community. A lot of music from Latin America, Brazil, the Caribbean. In recent years, we've expanded that, and we've also started working a lot with locally based and domestic music. There's a lot of fantastic music being produced in the United States. So we take a very broad view of what is world music. And we try to present music that keeps Miami and South Florida tied into what's happening culturally all over the world.
And this has become a very diverse area, hasn't it? And I guess that gives more opportunity for you to present a lot of really interesting musical styles.
Oh, absolutely.
Another thing that has happened recently, actually, you got the keys in April to your new home. So let's talk a little bit about the new home for the Rhythm Foundation.
One of the things that makes this upcoming season new from our prior seasons is that we are running a venue, and we're running a very special venue. It's the North Beach Bandshell in Miami Beach. It's up at 73rd and Collins. It's an open-air amphitheater next to the beach. It's an architectural gem, a MIMO classic building that's Miami modernism or mid-century modernism, depending on who you ask. We've worked there for many years producing festivals and concerts, but we were awarded the management of the venue by the City of Miami Beach earlier this year, and we really got our feet wet, and we're launching all kinds of great programs at our beloved Bandshell this fall and this winter.
So, and I have the brochure in my hand. You have indeed a lot of exciting things coming up. Let's start wherever you want to start. I see a dance okay. band night coming up in just a few weeks. Tell us about that.
Well, we have two regular series that we do at the Bandshell, and the first one is Dance Band Night. Now, I grew up in North Beach, and it was always home to big bands playing music for old folks dancing. And so when we got the keys, we started Dance Band Night, kind of with that, a little homage to the old school days. We do this on the second Thursday of each month. At 7 p.m. we have a dance lesson, and that's followed by a live band playing music that has a particular dance. We've had salsa, we've had swing dance, we've had contra dance, compa, all different kinds of styles with a particular dance, and we're going to be doing that every month. We have coming up some really, really fun styles. We have rockabilly in November. We have West African soukous coming in January. We're going to have a tribute to Frank Sinatra, who's having his centennial in December.
Wow.
With the South Florida Jazz Orchestra. Yes, so we're really proud of the success of Dance Band Night. It's very family friendly. People of all dance abilities come out, people of all ages. You don't need a partner to join in the fun. It's been really a treat to get our feet wet with the dance community in South Florida. The other monthly event we do at the Bandshell is Food Truck Fest. That's the fourth Wednesday of each month. The City of Miami Beach brings out the food trucks. It's a really great community event, and we've programmed some of our favorite locally based indie bands and really activated the Bandshell for this fun night out for people who love North Beach and the neighborhood. We're also launching a couple of festivals in the winter. In January, we're kicking off Seaside Sessions. Seaside Sessions is kind of a jazz series. A lot of people are scared by the word jazz. We call it Seaside Sessions.
Why are they scared of jazz? There's such wonderful jazz, and particularly in our region. Is that something that people, is it young people, or is it just people in general find?
Many people love jazz. Many people love jazz and don't know they love jazz.
I would think so, yes.
So our series is called Seaside Sessions. I hope it will be an annual event. It specializes in jazz, improvisational, jam, international sounds, innovative new music, and it's going to be 3 Saturdays in January, January 16th, 23rd, and 30th. We have some really, really cool bands coming to this series. We have Christian Scott, the young hot trumpet player from New Orleans, Hailu Murgia, some Ethiopian jazz, Dark Wave, which is a side project of John Medeski of Medeski, Martin & Wood, along with Adam Deutsch and Skerik. We have Marco Benevento, and then we have some really great locally based artists rounding out the lineup, including the wonderful Aaron Libos and his reality project. I know he's a frequent LRN featured artist. We're going to be expanding our annual signature event, the Transatlantic Festival, in the spring. We're developing a Kundalini Yoga and Music Festival also in the spring, which you'll have a full weekend of yoga and meditation, along with some of the meditative music that accompanies the yoga lifestyle.
You've got a wonderful partnership now with the Perez Art Museum. This happens on third Thursdays. Tell us a little bit about this program.
Don't we love the Perez Art Museum?
It is
gorgeous.
Aren't
we fortunate to have that gem in our city? We have been so proud to be an ongoing programming partner with the Perez Art Museum for some of their public performances, some of their public music events since their first opening. And this year we are co-presenting 2 of their third Thursdays. And they have some really interesting, innovative, cool exhibitions opening up this fall. And I'm so proud that they asked us to be part of them. I'm really looking forward to October 15th. They have an exhibit of a young Dominican-American visual artist, Firely Baez. And we found the coolest musical accompaniment for this special event. It's a group from New York. It's these 2 fashionista violin and viola experimentalists named Chargot. They're going to be at the Perez Art Museum on the 15th for their third Thursday. And then on November 19th, the museum is opening their big winter show with this amazing, I think he's UK-based, Jamaican artist, Nari Ward. And we are bringing one of the classic reggae sound systems to do the public programming, that's Stone Love. We're going to have 2 really nice third Thursdays at the PAM this fall. And it's a great chance to hear some new music, some innovative music, some cool music, and also see, you know, the world-class art at the museum. Another really fun thing we have coming to the North Beach Bandshell is Italian Hit Week. A couple of years ago, a music producer from Italy approached us that he wanted to produce a branch of his Hit Week festival in Miami. And I said, okay, whatever. It has been so much fun. We've done it now every year since 2010. And he brings the most interesting, wonderful music from Italy, from the Italian rock scene, experimental scene, jazz, world music scene. And it's something you really never hear outside of Italy. And each year we are delighted. Each year we discover a band that we just fall in love with. And this year I hope will be the same. It's a free event at the Bandshell on Sunday, October 18th. 3 fantastic bands from Italy. Calaschema, psychedelic trance tarantella from Puglia in Italy's southern boot heel. It's, you know, with the accordions and the mandolins and the hand percussion. Should be really a fun band. That's the hypnotic Italian dance music of southern Italy. And this is kind of a little bit of a punky electronic take on this really traditional style. There's also an Italian jazz singer, Chiara Civella, who will be featured in the lineup. And a very theatrical group from Rome, Le Cardamomo, kind of a little bit gypsy jazz. Should be really a fun night. So I'm really looking forward to the 2015 edition of Hit Week, Unexpected Sounds from Italy, at the Bandshell this year, and I hope your listeners will come check it out. It's free. In addition to our activities at the Bandshell, we continue some of our ongoing special events. We've been producing Big Night in Little Haiti on the third Friday of each month at Little Haiti Cultural Complex. What a gem of a facility that is. We have such a good time. Great compa music, Racine music, all different kinds of great music from Haiti. Beautiful crowd comes out, and I hope that any listeners who haven't made it out to Big Night come and experience a night out in downtown Little Haiti with us every third Friday. And then we have a couple of really nice shows coming into the Fillmore in the fall. We have samba legend Zeca Pagodinho at the Fillmore October 23rd, really classic samba from Rio de Janeiro. And then on November 14th, we have a treat, Chucho Valdez, the Cuban pianist legend, founder of Arikari, is coming to the Fillmore. It's his first visit to Florida. We're really looking forward to this show very much.
Needless to say, you have a very, very exciting season planned for us. If someone wants information on all of these programs and places that they can view the Rhythm Foundation, what's the best place for them to visit?
Rhythmfoundation.com. The hardest part is spelling rhythm.
Spell that for us.
R-H-Y-T-H-M foundation.com. And we look forward to seeing you at the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. Best of luck this season, and thanks for all you bring to us here in South Florida.
I'll really miss this Art Beats program very much. I've enjoyed it for so many years, the visits from the Palm Beach and the Keys arts professionals, just knowing everything that's going on in the community. Bravo on this on the legacy and the connections that have been made through this program.
Thanks so much. This is South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Caroline Brader-Watts sitting in for Ed Bell. On the other side of the break, we'll be joining Judith Bishop and Leanne Standish of the Perez Art Museum Miami. But we'll take a quick break right now. Stay close. Back now to South Florida Arts Beat, and our regular contributor, Judith Bishop, has a conversation with Leanne Standish. She's the interim director of Perez Art Museum, Miami.
When you drive across the MacArthur Causeway, you can't help but feel just a little bit like David Caruso in CSI Miami. As views go, it's an absolute 10. And the most amazing building is perhaps PAM, the Perez Art Museum of Miami. It was designed by the famed Swiss architectural firm Herzog & Morin, and it was inspired by Stiltsville. The building is stunning, and the vertical gardens are absolutely whimsical. PAM opened about 2 years ago to national and international fanfare, but recently the board has mounted an intensive nationwide search for a new director, and they've selected Franklin Sermons, who comes to Miami from the Los Angeles County Museum of Contemporary Art. He won't be taking the reins until mid-October, but in the meantime, the Perez Art Museum has been in good hands. Interim director Leanne Standish and her team have crafted an exciting calendar of new exhibitions that will please South Florida residents and visitors alike. Here to preview the new season at PAM is interim director Leanne Standish. Leanne Standish, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. It is a pleasure to have you here, and it is a very exciting time at the Perez Art Museum of Miami. You have a new director coming in, Franklin Sermons. He's coming to us from Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about him and his background, and also what you think he's going to zero in on and do for the art museum and for art lovers in Miami.
Well, thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here. We're very excited about Franklin. He comes to us from LA County Museum of Art, where he's department head and contemporary curator. He also is well known for his work in curating Prospect 3, which is an art fair held in New Orleans. There's a lot of buzz around Franklin nationally and internationally. A lot of people excited about what he's been doing at LACMA and about his innovative and sort of groundbreaking shows. We're excited about what he's going to do in Miami because specifically he really is excited about our diversity, which is something that we as a museum really focus in on. A museum is meant to reflect its community. And so Franklin's excited about that, and we're excited to see what he's going to do here in Miami.
Well, we will be watching and enjoying, I am sure. It's a transitional time of the year, too. We're going from summer into autumn, and that means lots of new shows. You have one that's going to be on for a few more weeks before you clear the calendar and start anew. It's called The Poetic of Relation. It runs through October 18th. Tell us a little bit about that for people who may have missed it during the summer months.
Yeah, don't miss it. It's really a beautiful show. It's The Poetics of Relation is inspired by author and poet Edouard Glissant, who really talks about transition and migration and identifying with a culture that maybe you haven't always lived with but is a part of your family, and really making that connection. And so it's a really lovely exhibition, and I hope that you will see it.
And coming up after that in the Project Gallery, you have works by two Dutch artists. Tell us a bit about that. It is primarily woods and made of wood, and it's primarily an installation, which seems to be the in thing in museums all over the world right now.
You know, a lot of what we're doing in Projects Galleries is really responding to the fact that we're a very young museum without a very, very large permanent collection. So what we're doing is really inviting artists to come into our community, to observe our community, and create a piece of work, an original piece of work that responds to that. So Bic van der Poel, this amazing duo, a lot of artists, when they come to Miami, they think about the water rising, the things that we don't always talk about necessarily. So they were inspired by environmental issues, by the great deal of massive growth in Miami. And so their installation piece is really beautiful. It's a large aviary with four birds. And those birds are very charming, and we're all kind of in love with them now.
What kind of birds?
So they're gray parrots and one cockatoo. They're really sweet, really, really smart birds. Throughout the installation, there are large letters that spell out environmental words. In the background, occasionally you'll hear a recording of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, and that they're just being played the part where they say the time is now. And so the birds occasionally sort of say the time is now, encouraging us to get some urgency about the environment.
Well, that gets an A for originality. Birds reciting T.S. Eliot. The sculpture garden at PAM is always a highlight for visitors. And right now you're featuring works by Mark DeSouvreau, who made a big splash here in Miami a few years ago at Fairchild Garden. Mm-hmm. Are you showing some of the same pieces, or are they different works by DeSouvreau?
We have, this is really wonderful. In our sculpture garden, we recently installed a beautiful piece called The Kiss by Mark DeSouvreau. And it was a gift from our patrons, Bob and Didi Moss. And so it belongs to the museum's permanent collection. Our sculpture park is like an outdoor gallery, and we have two other sculptures right now, Jed Novat sculptures installed, and we're beginning to install more and more in that area, which is really quite beautiful there on the water.
Perfect location.
Yeah.
Perfect. Earlier you said that one of the hallmarks of PAM and of our Miami culture is diversity, and you are hitting a note that is rarely hit at all, and that is going to be contemporary abstract paintings by Aboriginal Australian artists. Tell us about that and how this came about. How did you think that up, and how did you zero in on these particular artists?
You know, this is a really lovely story. A collector and donor and supporter of the museums, Dennis and Deborah Scholl, have long been contemporary art collectors.
And great patrons of the
art
here in Miami.
Great patrons of the arts. And they had, not that long ago, donated their entire contemporary collection to the museum, which was really exciting. And then, in that shift, they had really keyed in on Aboriginal art and its beauty and its story. And it really is a very beautiful show. I really hope that people will come to see it. It's called No Boundaries, and it opens this week.
Opening this week, that is terrific. So people can see that along with the other ones that we've been discussing. And then they're going to have to wait a little bit till November to see Carlos Alfonso's work. Mm-hmm. You're calling that clay works and painted ceramics.
Yeah. Carlos Alfonso is very important. It'll be a beautiful installation. There are a lot of people in this community who collected his work. And so we have some beautiful loans from within the community.
And tell me about the painted ceramics. That sounds like an interesting component to the show.
Yeah. I think Carlos is very well known for his painting, so this is a different way to look at his work and a different sort of show. It's in one of our focus galleries where we really focus in on one artist of one period of time and tell a story and help you sort of delve deeper into their creative process.
Well, I think just about everybody here is going to agree on one thing, that one of the primary best things about Miami is sunshine. We are sort of the land of eternal sunshine. And in November, you're going to have something called Sun Splashed. Mm-hmm. Which is very, very apropos. And it ties into PAM's unique architecture and its space and its mission.
Yeah. It's a really important exhibition. It's the first large-scale retrospective of artist Neri Ward. Neri is a Jamaican-born artist who was raised in Harlem. He really takes on the large-scale installations that are very immersive. I think, you know, these installations, they make you feel differently than just looking at a painting, which sometimes has a different effect upon you. But Neri talks again about becoming a U.S. citizen. A lot of his art is about becoming a part of the fabric of the U.S. as a Jamaican-born individual. And so his art brings you and draws you into that experience.
I think installations tend to do that, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time, though, for Art Basel in December, there will be another installation, this one by Sheila Gowda, opening in your project gallery. Mm-hmm. And that's always such a fabulous time in Miami.
Yeah.
What are your expectations for Basel and PAM this year?
Oh, gosh, it is exciting. So Sheila will do an installation in our double height gallery, which is so dramatic. We always love that. And Sheila's work is very dramatic as well. And then for Basel, you know, it's a crazy time for us. We're very excited. We've commissioned an original piece by Ryan McNamara and Dev Hines, who will do an original performance piece on the Thursday at Basel. And, of course, you know, we're celebrating Sheila. We're celebrating Neri. We're celebrating all the artists in our collection who happen to be here. Our new director will be here. It'll be a really vibrant time for us at PAM.
It certainly will. And also something that's always vibrant and happening at PAM are your educational programs. We all think that they just benefit children, but yours benefit children and adults in our South Florida community. What are some of the highlights of your educational programs and components?
Yeah. That is our sole mission, you know, really, is education. And we use lots of different vehicles to bring that to light. And as you probably know, the night school program allows for every third grader in Miami-Dade County to come to the museum and have pre- and post-visit activities. This summer, I was really lucky. I got to go do some of the PAM in the Neighborhood programs. And that's where we bring the museum's educators to already standing summer camp programs, day camp programs. And, we make art and we learn some new skills and new communication skills at these wonderful camp programs. That's a great program. We recently won a national award for our teen program, for our PAM Teen Arts Council. And this group is a really fantastic group of young people who work to interpret the museum for their peers. So you and I might talk about the museum in one way. They talk about the museum in a way that other teenagers can understand. And they spend a great deal of time learning from our curators and our education staff and really translating into maybe a different kind of language.
Well, I'm sure they think it's totally awesome, and it is.
That's right.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Leanne Standish of the Perez Art Museum of Miami.
Thank you. My pleasure.
The Perez Art Museum is located in downtown Miami at 1103 Biscayne Boulevard. That's in the new Museum Park area near the American Airlines Arena. It is open Tuesday through Sunday and closed on Mondays. For more information, log on to pam.org or telephone 305-375-3000. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a regular contributor to South Florida Arts Beat, covering theater and museums. She's a member of the Writers Guild of America and has judged news and documentary awards for the Guild, as well as Emmy Awards for the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. She's also the recipient of 2 Associated Press Awards. This is South Florida Arts Beat, back with a little taste of the holidays in September in just a moment. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Caroline Brader-Watt, sitting in for Ed Bell today. And it's never too early. It may only be September 25th. Never too early to think about the holiday season. And now we learn a little bit more about the upcoming Winterfest. And I'm happy to welcome Kathy Kelleher to the program today. She's the marketing and parade director for Winterfest, which is based in Fort Lauderdale. And Kathy and I were chatting. I don't presume to know how old Kathy is, but I can remember 44 years ago when you started, or not you, but the organization Winterfest started, I remember what South Florida was like. Don't know if you were here or you remember that, but it was a very different place, Kathy. So tell us a little bit about the origin 44 years ago of Winterfest.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
First of all, I came down here. I'm a transplant from Western New York, and I came down here when I was 18. So I remember the parade from that time on, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am. So, but Winterfest was basically started out as just a group of boaters that got together, and they played holiday music. From that very humble beginning, it transformed, and it transformed based out of its relationship with the Fort Lauderdale Chamber of Commerce, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Realtors Association. And what Winterfest basically became was we were the marketing signature event of Fort Lauderdale and South Florida to entice Northerners to come down here during the holiday season in December.
So that may be hard for some of us to imagine because so many people now come specifically for the winter season, right? Because of the weather, because of various factors here in South Florida. But once upon a time, I guess we had to entice people down here. Hard to believe.
a long time ago, basically, the attitude was that people didn't really want to, you know, leave. They wanted to stay up north for their families and things of that
right.
sort. As we've become a little bit more, our families are everywhere. Fort Lauderdale and South Florida has basically become that nice hub, especially for the Northerners, to be able to come down here when it's very cold and enjoy our weather. And from that, we've developed into not only being a signature event for people to come and visit, but we also have retained our community vision, in which we are very involved with our local community. But we've also become very more of an international destination for South Florida.
Being from the northern part of the country, as you are originally, you do hear that, well, you know, in Florida, Christmas or the holidays isn't quite the same as it is up north. Of course it isn't, because our weather is vastly different. But what I think is nice about Winterfest is that you celebrate what's really fun and different about South Florida and Fort Lauderdale in all of these festivities.
Winterfest is a big staff of three. And out of the three women that are involved with Winterfest, we do have a board of 50, a volunteer base of 300, but I am the transplant. And I always tell people, I came down here when I was 18. And for 2 or 3 years afterwards, I always flew back north and spent my Christmas, my holiday vacations up there. I happened to go somewhere and a friend that I met said, let's go look at the boat parade. And I was like, oh, all right. I was kind of in my depressed mode. I had to go to the mall in order, in my opinion, to experience the Christmas holidays
right.
because I was looking at beautiful palm trees and that snow. And I remember being on the bridge of Commercial Boulevard and watching this parade, and instantly, it was the holidays. And
mm-hmm.
I think that it doesn't matter where you come from. When you are watching, you know, the Seminole Hard Rock Winterfest Boat Parade, you're experiencing the memory of the holidays. It just transcends. There's lights. There's the holiday lights. There's music. Everyone is so positive. You just get that joy. And that's one reason why I absolutely love my job. There is nothing, in my opinion, more beautiful than to look at a family that is watching this parade and see that sparkle of the holiday lights in a child's eyes. And, you know, something that is truly, in my opinion, it's worth its weight in gold.
Right. Now, 44 years later, the landscape of South Florida and of Fort Lauderdale has changed vastly, and which is nice. You still have your parade, but you have so many other events going on now because our community is larger. There's more people. Not only do we have our beloved snowbirds, but we have folks who live here year round now. So walk us through now, 44 years later, what Winterfest has become. It's not just a boat parade anymore.
It is not a boat parade anymore. I'm going to just talk a little bit about the boat parade, though, is that in the 44 years, we have gone from a live spectator viewership of about 250,000 to now over 1 million, just because of the landscape that you are now talking about. But along with the parade itself, we have created an umbrella of events, everything from a black tie ball, which over 900 people attend at Hard Rock Live. We have a family fun day event, which is a free event on Las Olas Boulevard. It is in connection with the city of Fort Lauderdale and open streets, which basically we close an area. We have everything from the Panthers are bringing out their hockey. So we're going to have street hockey. We're going to have like arts and crafts. There's going to be entertainment. And we're basically closing down a section of Las Olas in which families and singles and everyone can just come and enjoy being a part of this community. Of course, we encourage everyone along our shoreline to decorate. We have our grand marshal reception. We have a white party, which is in October. It's basically our kickoff event in which this is when we announce our theme. We unveil our poster. This year, our theme is Fairy Tales Afloat. I'll give you a little hint. There's going to be a dragon in the parade. I'm excited. And with all of those events, a lot of people think that Winterfest is run by the city, but we are our own entity. Mm-hmm. And all of our money, we are a 501c4, all of our money goes back into the parade. A lot of people do not realize that we are in control of 9 bridges the night of the parade. We have to have barricades and security. We fence a portion of Birch State Park. There's 12 miles of parade route in which if we could close our eyes and wish that everybody gave us a dollar, it would be awesome and we would never need sponsors. But unfortunately, it is a free event. So if you walk up to the bridge.
Fortunately, it's a free event for all of us. But yes. I understand the budget challenge that creates for you.
Yeah. I mean, just in downtown alone, over 250,000 people can view this parade.
Wow.
And those are the things that we are probably one of the largest events in Fort Lauderdale when it comes to the police force and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So that is what we do. We raise money, our black tie ball, our sponsors and things of that sort to put back into the parade. And we have an unbelievable board of 50 who is committed to making sure that we have some creative entries. Like I mentioned, the dragon, and we have some other things that are going on. They're very exciting.
Well, and you mentioned you have a mammoth staff of 3.
Yes.
Which is not uncommon for organizations, nonprofits, and organizations such as yourself. You do a lot of work with a very small staff. And also the fact that, and if anybody goes to stores and sees what retail is doing, the winter and the holiday season starts earlier and earlier and earlier. You're seeing it in the summer now. Mm-hmm. But right around the corner, we're speaking now in the late September time, this all starts October 30th. So you have a lot of events going on. So let's go through the events starting on October 30th.
Sure. The first one is our Gray Robinson Winterfest White Party. This is a sponsor and media party. It is approximately 450 to 500 people. It is an invitation-only event, and it is when we unveil some of the highlights for this upcoming year. It will be the unveiling of our poster artist, who is Marcia K. Moore. If we have not announced our Grand Marshal, we will be announcing our Grand Marshal that night. We usually have a snippet from the Grand Marshal, and then we also do a little bit of our media campaign. What is also nice about it is, once again, we bring things back to our local businesses, is that this is a chance for approximately 10 to 12 restaurants to showcase what they do. So within this collection of Winterfest and getting information about what we are, you get to do samplings and things of our local restaurants and beverages. We have just currently started with Republic National as our new liquor sponsor. And what's great about them is they're actually going into the local community and having people try to create a Winterfest cocktail. So here, once again, is that we're reaching out to the businesses in this area and trying to connect to make an overall 12 miles of festivities. A lot of people do not realize that Winterfest actually has an economic impact of over $48 million into this area.
Wow.
We then go into November, which is open to the public. This is our Family Fun Day. We have relationships with the Panthers, the Florida Marlins, the Strikers, who will be coming aboard and bringing a lot of activities and things of that, so that if you bring your child, if you come along, and just if you want a bicycle ride, skateboard, whatever you want to do, just walk the boulevard, you'll get to experience a lot of fun and free activities. And this is our way of trying to give back. We normally have about 2,000 to 3,000 people during this event. There's usually live music, we have DJs. And once again, it's an encouragement to the businesses that are along Las Olas to come out and to be able to kind of showcase themselves. So once again, we're kind of working there. Along this time frame, we also do something that is very close to my heart, which is the Junior Captain Contest. That's actually going on right now, in which we target nonprofit organizations in Broward County to select a child under the age of 16 and have them be their nominee to be this year's junior captain. What we do is in the parade, that child that's selected and 25 of their friends get to be aboard a showboat that's sponsored by FPNL. Their name is put in lights along with that charity. And it's a voting process. It's done through social media. But what's so nice about it is that the child that wins, of course, gets this really great once-in-a-lifetime experience. The nonprofits get to showcase their what they do. And then every nominee is actually invited to be a part of the parade, and they're on our Santa showboat. So it's something that I just absolutely love. This year we have 11 children that are trying to get the vote to be this year's junior captain. As we transform into December in the true holiday month, we have our black tie ball. This year's theme is kinky boots because we are working with Broadway. And we are going to be bringing in some of their entertainment that is from the show. They're going to be showcasing a couple of their songs during our black tie ball. And we transform Hard Rock Live into a spectacular scene. When you walk into this arena, you do not know that it has been used for concerts. It just is elaborate and absolutely beautiful. Then we go into our captain's meeting, which is we have to make sure that the captains know our rules and regulations. We then go into our grand marshal reception, which is the night before the parade. That is when we honor the Grand Marshal for being taking their time out and actually being in our parade. And of course, our signature event, which is the Seminole Hard Rock Winterfest Boat Parade, which is on December 12th.
We're looking forward to all of this. It's going to be a very happy holiday season, particularly if you live in the Broward County area. Come and join in with Winterfest. As we mentioned, their theme is Fairy Tales Afloat, and their season begins on October 30th with the White Party, goes through actually through February 25th, where you have another event. Quickly tell us about that in February.
Yes, that's our. It's called our Captain's Cup. And a lot of people do not realize how much time it takes actually to put a boat into this parade. Even though it's only $35 to enter a boat in this parade, a lot of these captains spend hours and hours and hours decorating, and they have their friends out, they dance and everything. So this is our way of saying thank you to them. So the Captain's Cup is basically, it's a dinner, it's an awards dinner for them.
Wonderful. But the big event, of course, on December 12th, the Seminole Hard Rock Winterfest Boat Parade. Kathy, if folks want more information, what's the best place for them to go?
The best thing to do is actually go onto our website, which is winterfestparade.com. If they want to look at videos and photos, our Facebook page, which is winterfest.parade, is a great place to get information. And of course, they can also call our office, which is 954-767-0686. We have a very inexpensive area to actually watch the parade if somebody wants a reserved seat, which is in our grandstand viewing area at Birch State Park. We do reserved and assigned seats, so if someone's a little bit too worried about just going to a bridge, that's probably one of the best places to view the parade.
Terrific. Kathy Kelleher, have a wonderful holiday season. We look forward to sharing it with you.
All right. Take care.
This is South Florida Arts Beat. We'll be back after a break, but foodies, stay close. Norman Van Aken's A Word on Food is next.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Caroline Brader Watts, sitting in for Ed Bell, and here's our friend Norman Van Aken with a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is pan con bistec. Our path to a pan con bistec began when our clothes washing machine suddenly died. I was admittedly not in the best mood contemplating a trip to a laundromat, but that blackness turned tide white when I read about a coin laundry, as they are often called, that also was alleged to have the best pan con bistec in our city. Our commingling of clean clothes and good eats began long ago in Key West when we were more well-adjusted to chores like taking to the streets with a few baskets of laundry. When one is in their 20s, one rolls with moments like those, I must admit. And we rolled into places like the M&M Laundromat, which featured a small but capable kitchen that served largely Cuban fare, much like the Miami place we tried named Mary's Coin Wash. The aromas of sandwich bread toasting in planches, espresso coffee steaming, and men smoking Corona-sized cigars mixed with the soapy smells and sounds of the mid-afternoon traffic on 27th Avenue. Racks of baked sandwich rolls stacked one on top of the other had an ideal home in the thermal environs of Mary's clothes washing machines. While deciding what to drink with our pan con bistec, a tall man in a Dolphins football jersey with white specks in his hair and a series of gold chains around his neck overheard my wife, Janet, ask for a mix of a guanabana and tamarind batido. Janet is one of those that wants to have a little bit of everything if she can. A born-to-hyphenate kind of gal, God bless her. He exclaimed, "Now that is a new one to me." Then the big fellow went on to tell us how he makes his batidos with a quote-unquote killer combination of frozen fruit, ice, and condensed milk. It is so rich it will make your head spin. I looked behind him and watched the jumbo-sized mechanical dryers make their balmy revolutions. And then I kind of fell into the mood and reveled in the simple atmosphere I had foolishly resisted. Soon I was handed a plastic basket filled rabo a cabo with a pan con bistec. I will bet other listeners out there will tell me of places they deem better to have this sandwich, and I hope they do. But on this day, we had to also get the clothes clean, and that meant a two-for-one shot. Of course, bloody, dripping meat on a soft white expanse of bread has been a sure carnivore's hit since meat met bread with our upright species. In her fine book, The Cuban Table, Ana Sofia Palaez has us prepare a classic bistec de palomilla and then use the leftovers to make a pan con bistec. She recounts that it was one of her father's favorite meals. I am sure my father would have been happy to have joined him in the meal. The way pan con bistec is presented is with onions, sometimes caramelized and sometimes steamed, along with shredded lettuce, sliced tomatoes, and shoestring fries. This is often given a squeeze of lime, too. When I make my version, it will get a fair lashing of some kind of hot sauce. The great jazz bebop drummer, Art Blakey, poetically stated, "Music washes away the dust of everyday life." While Mary's Coin Laundry's machines washed, we ate a bit of meaty music. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is a regular contributor to South Florida Arts Beat, and you can hear A Word on Food Saturday mornings during Weekend Edition. This is South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Caroline Brader Watts, and this is a bittersweet day for us here at WLRN. This is our final episode of South Florida Arts Beat. It has been a thrill and an honor for me to sit in as guest host, but here's our friend, host, and producer, Ed Bell, with some final thoughts.
And And last but not least, to wrap up this final edition of South Florida Arts Beat, I'd like to sing the praises of those many great supporters and contributors of the show over the past 16 years of arts programming. Hello, Ed Bell with you today. You know, it's been said that we all stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, and it's quite true in the long production history of this radio program. So let me begin by thanking my WLRN administrators for allowing me to cover the exploding art scene of South Florida that we've all enjoyed for so many years. Thanks to John Labonia, our WLRN TV and radio general manager, Peter Maertz, WLRN radio program director, and Adrian Kennedy, executive producer. Thanks to my fellow co-workers, Joe Cooper, producer and co-host, with Bonnie Berman of Topical Currents, together with associate producer Richard Ives. Thanks to my technical directors over the years, Andy Wagner and Paul Leary. Paul also has done a great job as the show's social media producer, giving us a wonderful presence on our website, WLRN.org. Thanks to Claudia Munoz for her beautiful graphics work for the show. Special thanks to my great sound engineer for all my monthly live music performances for years, Chris DeAngelis. Thanks to Steinway's Gift to South Florida, piano tuning team extraordinaire, Carl and Hannah Roeder. A big thanks go out to our WLRN TV staff who assisted us each month on the music performances, Alan Tomlinson, director of TV programming and production, Chip Richards, TV production manager, Doug Clark, Al Chikoy, John Stubbs, Ricardo Presage, and Carrie Hedrick. Also, a big thanks to our longtime sponsor for the live music presentations, Pollo Tropical, and a great appreciation to our wonderful staff at Friends of WLRN, Norvell Jackson and his great staff. I've been so fortunate to have been able to work with some of South Florida's finest journalists on the show. Thank you so much to Judith Bishop, a former New York City television news reporter and producer for Chris Matthews, Charles Greenfield, who wrote for the Coral Gables Gazette, the Miami Herald, and the Sun Sentinel, film critic Dan Hudak of PunchDrunkMovies.com, who brought us big names from the film and television arenas, and Bob Weinberg, who covered jazz and blues musical genres on the show and wrote for the South Florida Alternative Press, XS News Magazine, and CityLink, as well as the Sun Sentinel and the Miami Herald, and currently writes and edits for the national music magazine Jazzes. My art calendar contributors on the show helped us convey a massive amount of art information over the years to our listeners. They are all arts administrators for their various counties and contributed a spectacular job on the show. Special thanks go out to Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs, Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division, Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council, and most currently, Marilyn Bauer, Director of Marketing and Governmental Affairs for the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Andy Newman covered the Florida Keys for the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. And thanks to Michael Aller, Mr. Miami Beach, for his art calendar reports. Let me also thank the hundreds of superb musicians who have performed on the show over the years, a dozen groups each year for 16 years. We are all so fortunate to live in such a musically rich area. South Florida is an extraordinary hotbed of diverse music styles performed by excellent musicians. Many other dedicated contributors helped us out over the years. Big thanks go out to Bonnie Berman for her wonderful segments on South Florida's humane societies and animal sanctuaries. Our theater coverage was started years ago on the show by Iris Acker, then continued by Brandon Thorpe, and helped by WLRN's own Paul Leary. Richard Pachter came over from the Miami Herald business section to give us great pieces about music and literature. Adrian Anderson contributed incisive reports about current computer trends. Diego Saldana Rojas came over from the WLRN Miami Herald news team to give us on-site reports from art walks in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. And for 10 years, our resident humorist was Buzz Fleischman. A big thanks to each and every kind contributor who helped move South Florida Arts Beat forward. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show over the past 16 years, and we hope that our efforts have informed your world. It is also my hope that you will continue to hear from these great South Florida Arts Beat reporters about South Florida's growing arts explosion in future radio programs. I want to thank you, our listeners, for your kind support and your great generosity all through the years. It has been a pleasure to serve you. Until we meet again, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye, enjoy,